You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Friday, March 29th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Mr. Jonah Booker in just a moment. A lot to get into. Are we buying the Julian Sain hype? A lot of hype around the young freshman quarterback. Maybe ask us after the scrimmage tomorrow, which the entirety will be open to the media. Looking forward to that. So is Jay Book buying the Julian Sain hype? Am I buying it? We'll get into much more, but we're going to start the show off talking some quarterbacks. Before we get to that, I want to let you guys know about our sponsor, Manscaped, and a great deal you guys can get. This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, use Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code BUCKNUTS for 20% off plus free shipping. And spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning. All right. Nothing like my guy Jonah Booker. Bring J-Book in here. All right, are you buying the Julian Sain hype? And I don't mean people are saying he's going to be the starter, but like, there's a lot of hype around this young man. I can't wait for the scrimmage tomorrow. It's going to be open to the media. The entirety is going to be open. Are you buying the Julian Sain hype so far, Mr. Jonah Booker?
I'm buying it to an extent, Dave, and here's the reason why. A lot of that chatter is coming from within the program amongst the players. So the players aren't going to lie about someone who's balling out. So if they truly believe that Julian Sain is out there going neck to neck, you got to take it, you know, for what it is, Dave. I don't think it's going to just come out of nowhere if the kid is not out there making plays. So I am buying it. The question is what will Ohio State do? Will they continue to allow this kid the platform to flourish, to really truly compete for the starting job? If so, Dave, and I ask you this, and I tweeted this out yesterday, if Will Howard and Julian Sain are even going into fall camp, would you rather go with the 6'5 veteran or the true freshman who has a higher ceiling? Now, this question yesterday, Dave, it got a ton of traction from Ohio State fans, and I wish I would have did a poll because it was almost 50-50 split with a lot of people making a great case. Now, you keep in mind, you're going to Eugene, Oregon. That's going to be a primetime game, night game, probably a top five matchup. Do you take a true freshman on the road for that type of atmosphere, or do you ride the back of the veteran knowing that you got an absolutely loaded squad who's probably not going to rattle in a situation like that? Like, I'm curious to get your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with – I was going to say something along these lines. Just the best player starts, but to your – Michael on Facebook. But your point is, like, what if it's dead even? Like, I know it's a hypothetical. Is it really going to be 50-50? Like, you got to think one guy's going to be a little ahead of the other. Yeah. I mean, if it is 50-50, to answer your question, that'd be tough because you could – I could look at it two different ways. You could look at it like, well, the freshman is equal with the fifth-year senior. Go with the freshman because he's got the higher ceiling. He's already equal. You got to think he's got, you know, a lot more room for growth in a short period of time if he's already equal with the fifth-year senior. Or you could look at it like, if they're even, Julian's not ahead of him, I want the guy with experience. I would probably lean that way. Yeah. Now, I think it's probably not going to happen. They're not going to be dead even. But if they were, I'd probably lean toward the guy that has a lot of experience, especially if Julian's not ahead of him. One thing, if Julian's a little bit ahead of him, you're saying, well, I want to go with the guy with experience. Like, no, I want to go with the guy who's better. Like, But if they're dead even, give me the guy with experience.
Yeah, and it is a hypothetical, Dave. You know, keep that in mind, because you know they are raving about saying, thinking that, you know, his future is extremely bright. The thing is, if you're talking about both quarterbacks, Dave, you look at the schedule. The schedule's pretty weak before you head to Oregon. I don't see a reason why you can't give both quarterbacks equal amount of playing time. You know, you go with, you know, the veteran, if that's the route that you want to choose. And then at that point, there shouldn't be any reason why you don't get the younger guy some valuable snaps there. Now, you also have to take into account, Dave, you know, if Julian Sand is ready to play, that right there speaks volume about who he is at a quarterback in such a short amount of time. The kid is ready to play. Do you really want to be known as a program that's holding back greatness? Because if the kid is really ready to go and ball out, and he's even, you know, with a veteran like that, what does that say to other recruits to say, hey, look, we are a place that is willing to play younger guys if they're ready to play. Look at our quarterback position, the most important position on the field. So I do think there are arguments on both sides of it. I do think some of the talk, you know, I do think a lot of the talk is real. And I know that a lot of the talk is coming from the players who are saying that Julian's been balling out. It's not to say that some of the other guys haven't been playing well. But I just think that the buzz is coming from internal, from a lot of the guys saying, hey, he's been playing really well. It's also been coming from people who's been visiting practice that has been closed off from the media, talking about how well he's been playing. But I just think when you got a veteran like that with the stakes so high, a national championship type of caliber where everybody's all in, if you're Ryan Day, man, it takes some huge marbles to say, hey, my job, which is potentially on the line, that I'm going to ride with a true freshman. If I was betting, Dave, and you know, if I'm to put a grand on it, I would say that the veteran week one will be the one who starts, because there's so much at stake with a championship roster. Go with the veteran, but also find time for the true freshman or the younger guys to get some time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would bet a large amount of money that Will Howard will be the starter when they kick off against Akron. And if he stays healthy, he'll be the starter all season. I hope everybody sticks around. I hope Devin Brown sticks around. I hope Devin continues to push him. And, you know, Julian Sayen continues to push him. Aaron Noland, Lincoln Keenholz. I hope they all stick around. I just find it highly unlikely that all five scholarship quarterbacks are going to stick around, especially in this day and age.
Yeah. April 20th is going to be absolute mayhem, Dave.
Yep. Oh, I know. Josh Pate's warned everybody. So at least we're somewhat prepared for the insanity that he's hearing about from really good sources, by the way. Give me your thoughts on the quarterbacks overall. You kind of said like you'd go with a veteran. I agree. And I think that's what Ryan Day is going to do. They're like going all in on this season. They're not going to start a true freshman quarterback unless he proves he's the guy, then he's the guy. But I don't think that's going to happen. How do you feel overall about the quarterbacks, whether it's Will Howard, you know, just overall, Devin Brown, Aaron Noland? How do you feel about these guys? Obviously, Julian Sayen.
Right. Well, with the quarterback situation, Dave, this roster is so loaded. You just need a quarterback who's not going to lose you games. You just need a competent quarterback who's going to be able to move the chains, keep the offense on schedule, run Chip Kelly's playbook, and deliver strikes to open wide receivers. What was the one thing that Ryan Day was constantly screaming at Kyle McCool when he came to the sideline? You watch him on the camera, he's yelling like, we got guys open, throw the ball instead of, you know, checking it down. And that's the thing, if you got wide receivers open, you need a quarterback who's going to be able to step up and deliver. Do they have that in this room? I truly believe that they do have it. I know a lot of people have been writing off Devin Brown. The thing with him, Dave, is the durability is still a major issue right now. If you're Devin Brown, his name theoretically should be right there in the mix of being the guy that's going to take this job by the bullhorns and say, hey, I know you brought Will Howard in here to be the starting quarterback, but you know what? It's my time to shine right now. I don't know if you're getting that from Devin Brown right now. The durability is always going to be a question mark that hangs over his head. You really like the true freshman. You think the guys that are coming up on the back end, immensely talented. Lincoln Kingholtz, I'm still not out on him. I still think he is an incredible talent. I just don't know that he's ready yet coming from the Dakotas. But I think he is someone that's going to be able to provide some depth. So overall, big picture, I do like this quarterback room. I don't think everybody's going to be in there after the spring. If they are, then hey, tip of the cap to Ryan Day and Chip Kelly to talk to these kids to say, hey, stay here, fight through it, continue to grow, continue to develop. And if that's the case, then hey, that's beautiful to see. But I truly believe the biggest thing for me, Dave, when it comes to the quarterback position, just don't lose football games, because the roster is so loaded that these dudes should roll out of bed scoring 30-plus points a game. When you have a two-headed monster at the running back position, the talent that you have at the wide receiver with Emeka and Carnell and Jeremiah Smith, and then you look at the tight end room, they have some able bodies there that's going to be able to do some damage if you give them the opportunity. Just don't screw it up. And that's why I kind of start leaning towards, Will Howard and the veterans as well. Like, hey, just get the ball to the playmakers and let those boys do their thing.
Switching gears, two guys whose stock is certainly way up this spring is Cade McDonald and Jason Moore, a couple of second-year D tackles. Cade McDonald with 3 years of eligibility left. Jason Moore redshirted last year, has 4 years of eligibility left. I don't know if Jason Moore is going to be here for 5 years, but just throwing that out there. But these guys, and it's not, again, this is not like media-driven hype. This is like Larry Johnson going on and on about these guys. And we had heard good things about them anyway from their teammates. But Caden McDonald, I love it. 330 pounds, moves well. Flashed a little bit as a true freshman last year. Sounds like he's going to be the first, one tech off the bench. Jason Moore. I mean, Larry Johnson said he's the ideal three tech in our system. Saying that about a redshirt freshman. Then you throw up Hero Canoe in the mix too. So they got five D tackles, including the two starters with Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton. But get into Caden McDonald and Jason Moore. I think it's time to get excited about these two young men.
Huge, Dave. I mean, it is huge that you have these younger guys like that starting to, really step up. You look at that recruiting class last year, a lot of people talked about some of the misses that Larry Johnson had. But you look at the guys that are on the roster, and if Larry's telling the truth, which there's no reason why we shouldn't believe him, having a 6'5", 300-pound three tech that they believe has the potential to be really, really good, that's going to do immense things for the rotation. Caden McDonald, another 330. Like, you look at the beef in the middle of that defensive line, Dave, got some big boys, got some big belly boys, and being able to rotate them is going to do wonders for Tyleek and Hamilton. And what did he say about Hamilton? He's violent. He said Hamilton is violent. And then, as you mentioned, Hero Canoe. Hero was a guy that the coaches have raved about. They were really big about how he came on towards the end of the season. So I love what I'm hearing about the defensive line. And then the Ole Miss transfer too. They talked about him, Dave. I think Larry said the biggest thing with him was the baseball, that coming from Ole Miss playing baseball, being a two-sport athlete, they thought that he was further behind in his development, so it's going to take him a little bit more time, but they do like what they're seeing for him, and that's Tywan Malone. And they think that with him focusing just on football with his size, another 300-plus guy, they think that his growth is really going to start taking off now, because he was missing those basic fundamentals and the techniques from missing so much football, being a two-sport athlete. But, yeah, Caden McDonald, they may get him in there as some fullback like they did in a bowl game. But the biggest thing is getting the DeMatha on Jason Moore starting to really develop. And the thing that really stood out to me, Dave, is Larry Johnson saying he has not had a bad day. Every day has been a good day for Jason Moore. When you hear a coach say that, especially for a young guy, Dave, that is big time, because the biggest thing that a lot of kids struggle with is consistency. For Jason Moore to be so young, consistently putting together really good days, that's how you get on the field, because now you start to earn the trust of the coaches, because they can look at him and say, this kid's bringing it. He is bringing it every day that he straps him up, puts the chin strap on, that he steps on the field. And so if he can continue to do that, parlay the rest of this spring into a stellar fall camp, there is no doubt in my mind that you're going to have him on the field. But my goodness, 6'5", 6'6", 300 at a three technique, Dave. And what did the one thing too, Jason Moore said, he thought that he was going to be an edge guy coming out of high school. Yep. And Larry Johnson was the only coach that recruited him, that kept it real with him, that told him, no, no, your body's going to outgrow. You're going to be a defensive tackle. All the other coaches were telling him what he wanted to hear, saying, hey, you're going to be an edge guy. You're an edge guy. But Larry saw right through it. And Larry told him, this is where you're going to grow at. Your body's going to continue to grow. You're going to be a 300-plus guy with your size. And now he's taken to that coaching, fully embraced it, attacked the strength and conditioning room like an animal. And now he's really put himself in position to be a contributor on this roster, because what did Ty Leek say? We need those younger guys. We need to have a rotation. I don't need to be playing 50, 60 snaps a game. You need to be able to have those younger rotation pieces coming into play, because as Larry Johnson said, it's a 17-game season. Now, let me ask you this, Dave. Are you buying Larry Johnson saying they're going to have a deep rotation early on, and they need to have a deep rotation because they understand that in order for them to get where they need to be with a 17-game season, they need everyone healthy? Are you buying the rotation? Because that's been the biggest knock with Ohio State, is they haven't had the rotation getting those younger guys in there. Are you buying it?
I am buying it, because other than last year, Larry's always used a deep rotation. It's almost like they overcorrected last year because they felt like they rotated too much in 2022. Like, look at the Georgia game. You had times when you had, like, you know, guys out there that weren't your best defensive linemen in key moments. So his history tells me he will rotate. And you look at the schedule too. I mean, against Akron and, you know, against Western Michigan and Marshall. I mean, I don't know in big games if they're going to rotate it maybe as much as they will in those games, but I think to open the season, they definitely will, to see what they have. And the quality is so good. We're talking about D tackle, how deep they can go there with McDonald and Moore and Canoe being backups. I mean, defensive end. And it was cool talking to all those guys yesterday. You mentioned Jason Moore saying that about Larry Johnson. That jumped out at me too. He's like, he was the only one that kept it real with me. But it was fun talking. We haven't interviewed those guys yet. That was the first time with Caden McDonald and Jason Moore. We had interviewed some of the backup defensive ends. We got a chance to talk with Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson. They're loaded at defensive end too with the depth. So, yeah, man, it's I'm buying it to an extent. Yeah, because Larry's has shown he will do that. I think last year they just overcorrected. That's just my take on it. All right, the scrimmage tomorrow. What are you looking forward to hearing about the most? I'll be there, so you can be texting me, Dave, I want to know about this. And I'll say, okay, Jay Book, I got you. Is it seeing how the offensive line holds up against this D-line? Like, what are you most curious to hear about tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do the offensive line. Are they going to split them up? Are they going to have one-on-ones, twos-on-twos, so that you can kind of get a better feel? If they, you know, if they're mixing and matching guys onto the offensive line, then that, you know, it's going to be hard to get a good read on it. But I will say this, Dave. I think that the situation that you're going to have to deal with is, how does the wide receivers look? I'm curious about the back end of those wide receivers, Dave, because we've been hearing so much about your Brandon Ennis and your Jeremiah Smiths and all of those headliner guys. What about your Keon Grays? What about your Kojos? What about your Bryson Rogers? Like, it's important that you, that next wave of guys really start to make an impact. I think that's going to be something that I want to hear. Like, are you guys making any plays? That's the big part, because you've got to be able to have a deep rotation at wide receiver. Those wide receivers are some. That's a position group that definitely needs to step up. And the linebackers. How does Sonny look, Dave, at the linebacker position? How does he look out there with, you know, C.J. Hicks, the Gabe Powers, those type of guys? That's going to be something that I'm definitely looking forward to hearing, is wide receivers in the linebacker position. If the offensive line are all working in unison, how would those guys actually look as well? Because, you know, the defensive line, if they're getting going, they're tough to block.
We're going to finish the show answering a couple questions. We have a question in the queue for J-Book about Arvell Reese. We have a question from Mika about the running back coach situation. Any update there? So we'll finish the show talking about that. But we'll let you guys know about our awesome sponsor, Nuts.com. Love these guys. You know, as I've told you guys, the chocolate and peanut butter munch mix did not last long in my house. And the roasted almonds are fantastic, too. They're almost gone, too. So I'm going to have to re-up at Nuts.com. Highly recommend these guys, and you guys can get a great deal. Nuts.com is your one-stop shop for freshly roasted nuts, dried fruit, sweets, pantry staples like specialty flours, and more. Their wide selection means there is something for everyone. At Nuts.com, quality is the top priority. They roast their nuts and pop their corn the same day it ships, so they reach you deliciously fresh. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Can confirm. I mean, you open this up, you can tell that they roast the nuts the same day it ships. It's absolutely delicious, and it smells delicious. Right now, Nuts.com is offering new customers a free gift with purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at Nuts.com/BuckNuts. So go check out all the delicious options at Nuts.com/BuckNuts. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more. That's Nuts.com/BuckNuts. Love it. Just perfection. BuckNuts.com and Nuts.com. All right. A couple questions we want to get to here. All right. So, where am I at here? Excuse me. There we go. All right. Jermaine, is Arvell Reese taking over at linebacker? Is he still on the defensive line? I saw J-Book on X talking about him. He's playing linebacker as far as I know. They might move him down to rush end here and there, but he repped at rush end last year. Now he's repping at linebacker.
He's a Mike. I think they moved him to the Mike linebacker, Dave. I think he's going to be someone that is right behind Cody Simon at the linebacker position. He is a big boy. What is he, about 6'4", 240, like just absolutely, and can run from sideline to sideline. A lot of talent. And I love Arvell Reese's game, Dave. You know, he brings that Cleveland Glenville toughness to the heart of the defense. I think he's going to be someone that's going to be repping behind Cody Simon, but as of this spring, he's been getting some reps at the middle linebacker position.
I like it. Gabe Powers is in there too. They might be moving Gabe around. Gabe was getting some reps behind Cody at Mike, and Gabe can play outside as well. So they've got some interesting depth there. Obviously, CJ Hicks, you talked about Sonny Styles. You got to think Sonny's going to be a starter. And then they've talked about using some three linebacker sets. That's one of those I'll believe when I see it. You know, I mean, maybe they'll make it here and there. I don't know. They're talking about, we'll have Cody and CJ and Sonny on the field at the same time. It's like, oh, okay, sure.
But I will say this, Dave, before we go into running back, that, you know, we're mentioning so many pieces on the defense. And the linebackers, I think they spoke to the media this week, and the biggest thing that they said that James Laurinaitis told them that they're going to be rotating those guys. They're going to create some package. It's critical for Jim Knowles in this defense to find ways to get a lot of these guys on the field. It doesn't need to be simplistic to where Cody Simon and whoever the will linebacker is on the field 85% of the snaps and you're in the same looks. There's way too much talent on this roster to be so basic, to be so bland. Jim Knowles has to be creative to say, hey, I'm going to have a package where Arvell Reese is on the field. CJ Hicks is coming off the edge, and I have a rotation with Kenyatta Jackson standing up on one side of the defensive end and just being creative. Like, there shouldn't be any reason why this, with this much talent, that they don't have creative packages to find ways to get a lot of these younger guys on the field.
All right, let's cut. Everybody wants to know about the running back coach. I think now Ohio State, they're so sick of getting other running back coaches around the country pay raises that they're not leaking any information out about who's getting interviews. I don't know. DeMarco Murray, they went after him. They went after Gillespie. Those guys got raises. I don't know. My source doesn't even know who they're going after now, or maybe just doesn't want to tell me. And I haven't really been digging maybe as deep as I should, but are you hearing anything on the running back coaching front? I am not.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of running back coach agents that were also leaking that out to the media to get their clients paid. and they were using leverage from Ohio State to get those guys bigger contracts. The one name that's been thrown out there is Markwell Blackwell, the South Carolina running back coach. Don't know a whole lot about him, but he's a name that's been out there for a couple of weeks now. He was unavailable to the media yesterday, so a lot of people have been speculating. Is that something that, because Ohio State's been talking to him, he's a guy that has bounced around from job to job and came over from Texas A&M. I know Kevin Smith, the Ole Miss coach, he is a name that's been circulating as well, running back coach. So right now it's been pretty much on the hush-hush, Dave, about the running back position. The thing about it, though, Tony Alford leaving really put Ohio State in a bind as far as the timing. Right now it's going to be very hard to pull, you know, your top candidates. A lot of these guys are heavily involved in spring ball right now. There's been some talk out there that Ohio State's only offering a one-year contract to the running back position. So a lot of coaches are wanting multi-year deals. Who knows if that's true or not, but I just think the timing of Tony leaving really put Ohio State in a bad situation when it comes to trying to get their top-tier guys.
No doubt about it. I mean, that was just an ultimate F you. I mean, he was mad that he didn't get an extension and didn't get even got a little bit of a pay cut, I believe. Real quick. We've got some people asking about Pepe Pearson. Bobby on Facebook, get Pepe. Here's the thing. I know Pepe, you know, took over for after Eddie George graduated, took over as a running back for 2 years, had a really good year in 96 when his junior year, because he had Orlando Pace blocking for him. That was good. Here's the thing about Pepe. I like Pepe Pearson a lot, but like, he's the running back coach at Tennessee State. Do we really think he's ready to be the running back coach at Ohio State? I know he's an ex-Buckeye, but we wouldn't be talking about Pepe Pearson at all if he wasn't an ex-Buckeye. I don't know if he's a legit candidate. I don't know. Right.
I mean, I still like Scotty Graham, Dave. You know, he's a name that I still really like, the Washington coach. I mean, he's a former Ohio State Buckeye there, and he's someone that I think has, you know, been in the recruiting game for a while. He was over at Arizona for a couple of years, coming, has some NFL experience there. I just think that he's a name to keep in mind. Like, I don't know how legitimate the rumors are that Ohio State's been going after him, but I do think Scotty Graham is someone who's very capable of doing a really good job here. Former Buckeye, knows the state, has NFL experience. He's been a college running back coach before. If they were to land him, I think he is someone who would come in here and really embrace the rivalry with Michigan. That's the one thing too. And having former Buckeyes on the coaching staff is never a bad thing.
Yeah, I would be perfectly fine with Scotty Graham, big 35, coming here as running backs coach. And he does have the pedigree, you know, being at Arizona for a while, and then now, even though he hasn't coached a game at Washington, following the coach to Washington. Yeah, that I'm glad you brought him up. That'd be an interesting one. So we'll see what happens. Coach Day's coaching the running backs now, and there's two big running backs that are going to be visiting this weekend. So they've got to figure this out somewhat soon, but they're not in a huge rush. Great stuff as always from Jonah Booker. Really appreciate it. I'm sure you'll be texting me tomorrow morning to get information. I'll be back. Great stuff from Jonah. And thanks to all of you for tuning into the show. We appreciate that very much. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.